Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
I'm a rebel, everybody. I'm a rebel. Appreciate you guys tuning in, LA. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. A lot of great stuff to get into. The great Bill Plaschke from the LA Times is going to hop on in the 7 o'clock hour. We got a nutritionist coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but all I'm doing is eating. So she's going to try and put us in line. Okay, this is how I want to start the show. And we are going to do break-ins. Curtis, Jess, I want to make sure that as the show progresses and this big tournament going on Twitter and Twitch between Sedano, Mason, and Ireland, we'll do some kind of live break-ins. So just keep that in mind for down the road in the show. But this is how I want to start things off. So I think sometimes things in life are no surprise at all, right? There's certain things that you can depend on. If you want to go to the DMV, you know there's a long line. You want to go and see what Adam Silver is doing with the NBA, you're not going to be surprised how he handles the NBA, how he conducts himself, how he always takes players into consideration, how he tries to make the best decisions for the league. So just kind of a couple examples here. You're also not going to be surprised in life when I talk about the NCAA. Typically, I'm going to say that they're incredibly greedy, and I don't think they care enough about their student athletes, and they are incredibly profitable nonprofit. All right? Here's another thing that you won't be too surprised about. Major League Baseball continues to screw up. So I'm thinking today, I'm like, how do I want to start off the show? And I think that's been the question mark, obviously, leading up to every day, simply because, look, we know that there aren't any live sports going on right now. I'm promoting that the fact that Sedano, Mason, and Ireland have a simulation game on Twitch for NBA 2K, and that's going to draw some interest. There's no games right now. So one of the stories that came up earlier today was former Astros manager, former general manager of the Houston Astros as well. We know they're suspended for 1 year. Why? Because they just happened to cheat playing baseball in 2017 and very easily could have cost the Los Angeles Dodgers their first World Series since 1988. And by the way, kind of go a little bit further into that. It's not just the World Series. It's also certain players get sent down to the minor leagues after they played the Houston Astros, whether it be in the playoffs or the regular season. Clayton Kershaw probably has had in his mind since 2017, and that's not to say that he was flawless in the playoffs before then, but you know, certainly a lot of players look at the league a little bit different after that 2017 World Series run by the Astros. They cheated, just as simple as that. There's no other way to put it. So Major League Baseball has an opportunity to make things go right. Do I think they're going to do the right thing? Of course I don't. We've already seen enough from Rob Manfred. We've already seen enough from Major League Baseball that they're not going to do what's in the best interest of the sport. They're not going to do what's the right thing when it comes to suspensions, fines, taking down trophies. We've already been trained to believe that Major League Baseball is not doing the right thing. So why should I be surprised that the former Astros manager, A.J. Hinch, the former general manager of the Astros, will have their suspensions fulfilled in 2020, even if no Major League Baseball season is canceled? Why should I be surprised about that? Why should I be surprised that, let's just say hypothetically, and I know all Dodger fans here in Southern California and Angel fans, throw them in the mix as well, everybody's hoping in SoCal that there is a baseball season. They're hoping that there is an opportunity to see Mookie Betts rocking a Dodgers jersey and trying to get their first championship since 1988, that Kershaw's back on the mound, that Walker Buehler, this stacked Dodgers team that's favored to win the World Series or second to win the World Series, them and the Yankees kind of flip-flop back. There is so much hope and curiosity that we get a season this year. But this, to me, kind of is the nail in the coffin. This is the icing on the cake when I read the story earlier today that Major League Baseball hey, you know what? If 2020 season isn't played, nah, you're good, AJ Hinch. You know what? Why don't you just come back, actually? You want to be the manager of the Astros, another major league team, and not one game be played, and still get an opportunity to be a manager in the league? Then yeah, that pretty much aligns exactly with how baseball has done things so far when it comes to the Houston Astros. It's ridiculous, but it doesn't surprise me, right? Astros still have their 2017 banner. All those players still have their rings. Altuve still has his MVP. Players in the organization 100% got away with cheating their way to a championship. I'll give you a great example. I did crosstalk today, and Mason has the game for me. This is the birthday game. I cheated. I pulled the Houston Astros. But what's the first thing I did after I cheated? I admitted to Steve Mason that I cheated. The Astros and this whole thing in baseball, it's just the whole thing is a joke. And the thing I think that bothers me the most, I just feel for other fan bases out there, and I feel for Dodger fans, because this is just another example of how baseball really doesn't care what you think. And it also, I think, is a perfect example that baseball, whether you like it or you don't, they're rolling with this. 2017 should have been one of those years that nobody was crowned championship. Nobody got a chance to put up that banner. That was the right thing to do. They didn't do it. And this is another perfect example. I mean, just think about that. The GM, former GM and former manager, if there's no season played, that counts as their suspension. How is that possible? How is that possible? And if you're a Dodger fan out there, doesn't that just kind of continue to leave such a bad taste in your mouth? And I know, and I continue to emphasize this, my fandom towards the Los Angeles Lakers, we know how much I love the NBA and how much I love the Lakers. So when I try and put myself in the shoes of a Dodger fan who's as big of a Dodger fan as I am a Laker fan, and I know there's a lot of crossing here in LA with both of those, but when I try and put myself in a Dodger fan's shoe, and I think to myself, what if the Lakers lost to the Boston Celtics in 2008 and the Celtics had cheated their way to a championship? And then on top of all that, they let the Celtics keep the banner. They let the players keep the championship. They only decided, okay, let's just get rid of Doc Rivers as an example. And then, you know, here we are now, another opportunity for Major League Baseball to do something right. Of course, they don't do it, but I'm genuinely not surprised. One of the questions I want to ask Dodger fans out there, how do you feel the way Major League Baseball has handled things from start to finish? Also, do you trust baseball? Did you lose a trust that you can probably never get back? And I said this back when all that information was coming out about the Astros cheating. I said that this hits Dodger fans at a much different level, and it should hit them at a much different level. They had an opportunity to win a World Series, and nobody's saying give the World Series to the Dodgers, because I think we already talked about that. You got to earn it. There's got to be a way to earn it. The Yankees can make a case that they were going to beat the Astros. Astros shouldn't even been in the World Series if they weren't cheating, so none of that stuff. But if you're a Dodger fan out there, do you still trust baseball? Like, do you still look at the game of baseball and trust it the way that maybe you did 5 years ago, 7 years ago, even a year ago? Or is that completely changed? So I do want to get some Dodger fans' thoughts on this. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Has your perception of the sport changed? Has it simply changed because you're not surprised that baseball is going to make the wrong decisions, or Rob Manfred's going to make decisions, commissioner of baseball, that is not in the best interest of the sport? And you could also be just bitter. Just as a Dodger fan, you could be bitter about the predicament or the situation. I'm prepping a little bit earlier, and I'm saying to myself, Jesse and I are talking, and you know, we're going through some of the different topics, and we're both just kind of shaking our head. I'm like, how ridiculous is this? How ridiculous is this predicament, this situation, this conversation is still going on? And here's another a perfect example of how baseball screws up things. I'll tell you this. I don't feel like Adam Silver is screwing up things in the NBA. I really don't. I genuinely don't. And I like comparing the two sports just because both of them have been in the spotlight over the last couple years. And every time I feel like there's a big time opportunity for a big time decision to go down, I feel like Adam Silver makes the right decision. Has the best interest of the sport, has the best interest of the players. I 100% don't feel that way when it comes to baseball. What if AJ Hinch gets a job next year? I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine if he just gets a job next year and the entire season is missed and he technically doesn't miss out on any games? That would be BS and that would be ridiculous. So I'll keep that question proposed there for LA. Dodger fans, how do you feel about Major League Baseball, the way they've kind of handled this past 3 months or so? And do you trust baseball less? 877-710-ESPN. We'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, have you guys seen some of the different scenarios for the baseball season? Agent Scott Boras has an idea. Jeff Passan is reporting that the teams and the players are going to try and do everything they can to play as many games as possible. Bill Plaschke coming up later in the show as well in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, don't worry. You know, the whole eating too much. Eat Freely Nutrition coming on the 8 o'clock hour. Who's eating too much right now? Who's hanging out at home watching too much TV and probably not getting enough exercise and just get bored sometimes, walk into the refrigerator and grab a few things? Jess, Curtis, you guys with me on that one, or anybody else doing the same thing?
That's my favorite walk of the day, the walk of the fridge. I take it about 8 times a day, and sometimes even more when I'm feeling a little adventurous.
Love the activity. Curtis?
For me, things are kind of staying the same, only because, you know, I'm still kind of in my routine since I got to come out here, so it hasn't really affected it too much.
Quit showing off, bro. Quit showing off.
Okay. Oh, good for you.
Is that Christian Bale? Right. Good for you.
I hit on this, and actually we hit on it yesterday, and you heard some of it on the open. 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. So ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Send us an email, provide your first and last name, city, school, and sport, or post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each one of our shows will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Sliwa Show will do it as well. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. That's a great thing. By the way, I'm curious to interview some of these high school athletes and just get their thoughts on how this world changed so quick, what they're doing with their time, and how they're going to stay active in sports and everything else. So cool little promotion that the station is doing. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. All right, they're Dodger fans right now driving around. Can I get a couple Dodger calls on what they think about the news today that former Astros manager and former GM will have their suspensions fulfilled in 2020, even if no MLB season is canceled? Just think about that, Dodger fans, for a second. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Not only did the 2017 Houston Astros get to keep their World Series rings, not only did Altuve get to keep his MVP, not only is their banner at Minute Maid Park or whatever park that's called, not only is all that stuff there, but the manager and the GM, if there's no season here in 2020, hey, why don't you guys come back to work next year? No problem. Everybody come back in. Now, hopefully that's not the case. I hope, as we all do, that there is a season that plays out, but it could happen. We don't know what's going to happen over the next couple of months. Am I watching news 24/7? Pretty much, but I think that probably not as helpful as I thought it would be. I'm trying to be informed on everything, but really the reality is it's just too much information. But can you imagine, you know, we don't have a season and those two still get to be a part of those two get to serve their suspension while no games are played. 877-710-ESPN. If you trust baseball, maybe this kind of puts you further away from the game, that you're more disinterested with the game than you've ever been. I do know the reality when baseball does come back, Dodgers are as stacked as any other team in the league. They'll have as great, in my opinion, as great of a chance to win the World Series out of any of these years that they've been successful over this short period of time. And you'll actually get to watch all the games on TV. How about that? So some good, at least some good stuff, positive stuff going for the Dodgers. for when his season does come back. So I've spent a lot of time doing this. I spent a lot of time on the NBA. And we've talked and played out all these scenarios of when does the NBA season come back? How should it be? Lakers, we're 63 games in. Okay, great. So are you going to play out the rest of the regular season? You're only going to play a few games postseason? We've done that. What we haven't done is played out scenarios for baseball. And that's kind of an interesting – I feel like it's an interesting angle to take because, you know, the NBA was almost done with the season. And they're close enough now to where they could play no regular season games when basketball comes back and just try to get a playoff series going and crown an NBA champion. And we hope that that's the case and Lakers got a legitimate chance at obviously number 17. But for baseball, this is completely different. You know, their regular season was supposed to start March 26th. Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, it was going to be opening day on a Thursday, March 26th, actually a week ago today. And they were supposed to start their World Series run against the San Francisco Giants. So that obviously didn't happen. And now you look at baseball. Jeff Passan, who covers the MLB, does a fantastic, fantastic job. He had an article out. I think it was actually a tweet. Teams and players both want to play as many games as possible, extend regular season into October, potentially December, November and December, have postseason baseball. So baseball is going to do everything they can to try and extend the season out. And baseball is going to do everything they can to try and play as many games as they can. There's a couple reasons for that. We all don't have to be business majors to figure out that the more games they play, the more money everybody makes, the more revenue, and you know we could keep going along those lines. But I think what's interesting is baseball is in a completely – they're in a complete opposite position than basketball. Believe it or not, I almost feel like basketball is in a better position than baseball, and I know that sounds crazy, but that's because the NBA already got 80% of its season in. Or 70-something percent, whatever the case is, they got a large percentage of their season already in. And now all they got to worry about is trying to get to the postseason and playing that postseason run. For baseball, you play 162 games. So if you started on June 1st or if you started on July 1st, think about the amount of games that you lost. And I know there have been some scenarios out there that say, well, why don't we do – seven inning games on days that you have double headers. I mean, that's kind of funky to me. I don't know how that sounds. I know double headers is common in baseball. You obviously don't do it every night, but it's common. They make up games, but you can't make up 100 games. You can't make up 60 games or something along those lines by having these double headers. Here's an idea that player agent Scott Boras had. Scott Boras just an average agent. Just gets his guys $200 to $300 million, it seems like, every time he closes a deal. Scott Boras' idea was this. Regular season, whether it starts on June 1st, so that means you lost April and May, you lost 60 days, or it starts on July 1st, you lost 90 days. He says, either way, start on one of those dates, if that's obviously cleared from Major League Baseball, and it's cleared by the CDC, and it's cleared by the governments and the states and everything else, right? So start June 1st or July 1st. He says run your postseason from December 3rd to December 26th. So baseball's postseason would run right through Christmas. He wants a neutral World Series site, and he wants 11 postseason sites that will all be in warm weather locations. So probably Dodger Stadium, probably Petco Park down in San Diego. Maybe you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Angels. You try and find areas climate-wise where it's as warm as weather as we can get in the winter months. So Scott Boras' idea is, no, we'll be fine. Major League Baseball will be fine. We've heard all these ideas for basketball already, right? I've went through 30 different ideas, and every time Windhorst or Adrian Wojnarowski says anything, I'm like, Jesse, Curtis, grab that sound and play it. You know, like I've been playing out all these different basketball scenarios. But baseball is going to be an interesting one. baseball, I think, has this very unique position that they're in, this unique predicament they're in. They don't have any games in for 2020 so far. They play 162 games. So it's going to be a challenge, but at the same time, who cares? Play 100 games if you need to. Play half the season if you need to. I think they're almost in a similar boat with basketball, where as long as you just get a bulk of the season in and you could crown a champion in 2020, you win. You know, and if you have to push out next year's regular season of when it starts, do it. Same thing with the NBA. You're going to have to push out the regular season next year and free agency in the NBA. Who cares? Do it. Don't lose the 2020 season. Play as many games as you can. We'll see how things play out for baseball. All right, one of my favorite guys in L.A., Bill Plaschke, one of the best in the business, obviously with the L.A. Times. He had a great article yesterday on the Dodgers TV blackout finally lifted. I want to get his thoughts on that. You know, one of the things that Plaschke always does, which, you know, I respect, is yesterday was a big day for Dodger fans to now have an opportunity that they don't got to worry about watching games on TV. But at the same time, his article talks so much about how this can never happen again. You know, you're in a major market like this. Billions of dollars are being made, you know, in the sport, specifically the Dodgers. I mean, extremely successful. They're running a great organization. But you can't have a six-year run where local fans, there's a lot of local fans that can't watch their team play. We're going to ask Bill Plaschke about that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We have Bill Plaschke from the LA Times hopping on. Bill, how are you doing?
Hanging in there like everybody else. Just kind of waiting it out.
Yeah.
Although Dodger fans got some good news yesterday, huh?
How about that? Only took 6+ years. By the way, and this is the main reason I read your article, got a chance to read it in the LA Times, and I want to connect with you on this because I think maybe as quick as people turn the page and say, okay, this is all great and dandy, now everyone in Southern California can watch a Dodgers baseball game. You looked at it from a little bit different of a perspective. Just give me your initial thoughts. The Dodgers TV blackout is finally lifted. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, it was great. It's great for not every – I think fans of Frontier and fans, subscribers to Frontier still can't get it, but I'm sure they'll fall in line. But I think it's great news for the Dodger fans. It's shameful that it took so long. Mm-hmm. It was the worst money grab in the history of sports in Los Angeles. The fact mm-hmm. that the Dodgers basically, you know, back in 2013, they took $8 billion from, you know, from Time Warner to do their own station. And then when Time Warner tried to sell to carriages, cable companies, like DirecTV, they wouldn't take it. They had to charge them so much, they wouldn't take it. So the Dodgers outpriced themselves. They were outguessed by the market. They didn't listen to their fans. So for 6 years, they've been in this stalemate between supposedly DirecTV and Charter and, you know, Time Warner. But really, it was the Dodgers. With one stroke of the pen, they could have reworked the contract and made it feasible for Charter to put this on DirecTV for less money, and they didn't do it. And so 6 years lost. 6 years, fans didn't get to see Vin Scully's goodbye. This is more than half the fans in L.A. Didn't get to see Vin Scully's goodbye. Didn't get to see Kershaw's his golden years, his greatest years. Didn't get to see six division championships. Didn't get to see the team basically until October for 6 years. And that really hurt their brand. It hurt their marketing. I know they still sell out the stadium, but the buzz in town, it kept them in second place behind the Lakers when they could have maybe competed with the Lakers for the town's attention. the damage was innumerable, and it's a stain on the ownership's legacy at this point. Now, but it's all done, and it's all great. And moving forward now, you know, and Sportsnet LA is a great station. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a great network. It's a production value is high.
You're right.
You know, Joe Davidson or Hershiser are great. Alana Rizzo is great. They're all great. So great everybody can see it. Just shameful that it had to be this way. It is something that will stick with ownership forever.
Well, and Bill, I think you always kind of have a unique perspective on some of these different topics. You know, obviously specifically sports here in LA, but is it as simple as this? It's just greed? Is it that simple to kind of, if you're going to point the finger, you're going to say that Dodgers ownership, as fantastic as they've run this organization, you know, obviously the Guggenheim group, there is some greed that falls into play, which is why some of these fans, like you're referring to, didn't get a chance to see maybe Kershaw in his prime, or Bellinger becoming the player that he is today, or
Max Muncy's. And half these fans, Max mm-hmm. Muncy's not even a household name in LA, and he should be, but half the fans that don't even know him because mm-hmm. they never seen him play. You know, so no, yes, it was the Dodgers, and they'll say they took some of that billion, the billions that they got, they're getting from, you know, Time Warner and now Charter to refurbish the stadium, and that's great, to restock their roster, and that's great. But they should have taken some of that money. They had to give it back, and take care of their fans. So let their fans see them on television. They blame it. They'll blame it on their DirecTV all every day. They'll blame it on DirecTV and AT&T, Uverse, and all this. But the jersey says Dodgers. It doesn't say AT&T. It doesn't say DirecTV. It says Dodgers. It's their responsibility to get themselves on television. And I think they let the community down in this aspect.
Bill, can
and again, you it's all good now, but mm-hmm. it was a long, painful journey.
Well, can you expand on that? Because I think you said a little bit earlier that they missed out on an opportunity. What exactly, expand a little on what you're referring to there, because we know how successful the Dodgers have been. First of all, it's as incredible of a loyal fan base as there is in any city when it comes to baseball. But when you say that they missed out on an opportunity, how are you reflecting the last 6 years on that opportunity? Explain that.
It's hard to quantify. I mean, the Dodgers will quantify it by saying they lead the league in attendance every year. They're going to draw nearly 4 million fans, you know, so they're doing something right. And they are. People like to go to the stadium. It's a great experience. It's great to watch it on TV. But Judge, and I mean, I've been doing this a long time, the buzz in this town over the Dodgers in the playoffs is so much less than the buzz over the Lakers. Hmm. You know, it's so much less. They lost that buzz. They lost that connection. And there's a lot of fans out there. The fans who get hurt by the TV deal aren't the fans that come to the games. They're mm-hmm. the fans who will watch them on TV. A lot of shut-ins, a lot of elderly, a lot of people who've been there for years. You know, and the story I did about the gentleman in Carpinteria.
Yeah.
95-year-old World War II veteran. His life was based around watching Dodgers every night. Dodgers took that away from him, and he died without ever watching him, ever getting this, you know, with the blackout still being in place. The blackout outlived this. Jim Ballard, the blackout outlived him. Hmm. And it did it for a lot of people. So I just think it's hard to quantify, but you look at the fact that in itself, the fact that DirecTV would never pay the price that Time Warner and Charter were asking for means DirecTV didn't think the Dodgers were worth it. Hmm. And the Dodgers weren't worth it. Whereas the Lakers now, I don't know if you were around then, the Lakers, when they had their channel, they had the same problems. DirecTV wouldn't carry the Laker channel when it first got you know, born. Mm-hmm. And that stalemate, you know how long that stalemate lasted, Al?
What, two, three like games?
two, three games. That's exactly right. It lasted about a week and a half. And people went crazy. People went crazy, and DirecTV realized, we got to put these on there. People didn't go crazy with the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers, people weren't willing to pay that much because the Dodgers didn't realize that they had to build their audience. Mm-hmm. Their audience wasn't there like it was the Lakers. And so, you know, it was a huge miscalculation on their part. And it's just a huge black mark that they were not on TV for 6 years.
And Bill, I'll go off this because I did this yesterday on the show. That's kind of how I started the show yesterday. I was mentioning, I said, this would never happen for the Lakers. And I,
well,
and
yeah,
by the way,
yeah,
and
it did happen, but for 2 weeks, yeah.
Right, exactly. It wouldn't happen for a long, you know, stretch of time. But I think you're the perfect person to ask about this. Why is that, you think? And I know that I feel like personally, and maybe I have some bias here because I do so much around Los Angeles Lakers basketball, but why not that type of – I feel like everybody would be picketing around L.A. if they couldn't come home and watch a Lakers game. That's what the Lakers are. But I also know that that Dodger fan base, as loyal as it comes, the best way I could ask this, how is it allowed to go this long? You know what I mean? Like how was that possible? Did just Dodger fans just completely lose faith that any of this was going to change?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, remember – They were taken off TV in 2014. Mm-hmm. They had not been to the World Series at that point in 88, 98, in like 30 years. Mm-hmm. They had not even been to a World Series. So Dodger fans were like, well, they're a perennial runner-up. They're not champions. We're not going to support them. Whereas the Lakers, when they went off TV, they just won a World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. I think the Dodgers thought people would flock. I think they thought that DirecTV pulls them off, people would go crazy. And if people went crazy, DirecTV is not dumb. They're in the business to make money.
Sure.
They thought they could keep customers, they'd keep them. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose many customers. Because at the time, the Dodgers had not had this unprecedented success. Now, if this happened again, it probably would be different because they've been to two World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But they just weren't in the category of the Lakers as far as accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
They were in their own minds as far as legacy, and the Dodgers is much more of a passed down from grandfather to father to grandson to granddaughter, you know, kind of a team at the time, and more enduring legacy in L.A., but it was what have you done for me lately? And the Lakers were coming off championships and star power, and the Dodgers were coming off, you know, Manny Ramirez getting popped for steroids and missing half the season. And, you know, continual failures by Clayton Kershaw in the first round of the playoffs. So they were the Dodgers thought they were in a stronger position than they were when all this started. And then they got so involved in it, they couldn't back out and they wouldn't back down.
Well, I love Bill, the way you kind of explained it too, because, okay, let's say you're a fan out there and you're like, oh, you know what? I could get the postseason games, right? Postseason is going to be on Fox or they're going to be on, you know, whatever nationally televised network. But, you know, the beauty of all these sports is following your local team from start to finish, right? Like, you don't know all the storylines, that the ups and the downs. It's almost like just waiting, watching the end of a movie. No, you want to know the lead up, the kind of the building up to it, and whatever the case is. I think that's the best way when you describe it in your article, you know, what fans missed not having Dodgers baseball. It wasn't just about getting to a World Series. It was the trip. It was the road. It was the path. It was listening to Vin Scully. There was a lot more to it than just, well, I'll see them when they get in the postseason.
Well, yeah. And then look at Max, going back to Muncy, hit that home run against Boston in 2018. In the 18th inning, and he was like, you think he'd be fed as a great hero in town, and people didn't really know who he was. Look at the All-Star game. And the Dodger players will tell you this. They had Justin Turner should have been a shoe-in starting first vote All-Star back in 2017. Instead, they had to organize a voting marathon to get him in at the last ballot for the All-Star game. Because why you think the Dodgers, who lead the league in attendance, should lead the league in All-Stars every year because of voting and fan voting? But no, because most of the fans don't come to the games. They get, you know, 3 million fans. They have a lot more than 3 million fans out there. Mm-hmm. Most of the fans don't come to the games. And they don't get that. So they're not going to vote for an All-Star team based on players that they don't know or can't see. So it just hurt them in so many different ways.
Bill, can I hold you for one more segment here?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, I want to get Bill Plaschke's thoughts from the LA Times on his thoughts on Astros manager and GM, Astros GM former, both manager and GM, fulfilling 1 year suspension, whether there's a 2020 season or not. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Bill Plaschke from the LA Times hopping on the show. Bill, by the way, I appreciate you doing this. Listen, it's obviously good news, and Plaschke had an article yesterday just coming out on Dodgers TV blackout finally lifted. Of course, it's good news and it's positive news, but I also respect the fact that you're not just saying, hey, you can now watch Dodger games, let's forget about the past. I think it's important to bring up, well, what happened over the last 6 years, and that this can't and should never happen again in this Los Angeles market for any of these major teams. That wasn't right that many Dodger fans didn't get a chance to watch Dodgers baseball. So I love you taking your angle that you did, because it's the right thing to do as we turn the page and start to move on.
Well, yeah, and it's instructive to note the stalemate wasn't ended by the Dodgers. It was a business economic decision by AT&T and Charter Communications. They decided it worked for both of them. The Dodgers did not have anything to do with it. The mayor had 6 years to get involved in. Of course, he's busier now with much more important things. But back then, before all this, the mayor could have gotten involved. Garcetti, he didn't. The commissioner Manfred could have gotten involved. He didn't. Dodger fans were left alone, man. They were left holding the bag. And yeah, that's why I'm still right about it, about the damages, because the Dodgers they weren't the ones that ended this. Mm-hmm. It was out of their control. I mean, they refused to end it. They wouldn't have ended on their terms. So it was a bad thing all the way around. But again, moving forward, it'll be great. The opening day this year is going to be the biggest opening day in baseball in Dodger mm-hmm. Stadium history. The home opener will be the biggest, most celebrated one ever, because it'll mean that this horrific nightmare we're living has ended, and that'll be really cool.
Well, Bill,
cool to have it on TV for everybody.
And this is going to be a perfect segue, because, you know, we've talked a lot about, I know I've spent a lot of time, and that's simply because Lakers were 63 games in, right? They only had 19 games left. So we've been talking about how the basketball season, what are the different scenarios? How are they going to finish out the year? I think baseball's took a little bit kind of a step back, in the sense that there hasn't been as much focus because baseball hadn't even started. But have you given this any thought? I mean, have you given it thought about how baseball should approach? I don't know if you saw Scott Boras's idea, the agent, about starting the regular season on June 1st or July 1st. That's obviously all based upon what happens with COVID-19, and hopefully the world and the country gets somewhat of a hold on this virus. But he also proposed postseason December 3rd through the 26th. Have you got a chance at all to kind of play out in your mind that as the can gets kicked down the road, what are some scenarios that you think make sense for baseball and for Dodgers baseball?
Yeah, I think they can. Of course, the Dodgers really, there's many reasons to hope the season's played out. For the Dodgers, chiefly, it's that Mookie Betts, if they don't play the season, he can leave without ever playing a game in a Dodger uniform, because he's a free agent. But I think it's silly to play these games at Christmas. It's just not going to work. You're going to be going up against football. It'll never work. The weather is too hard. Even if you do it in neutral sites, that takes away home field advantage. So I think you start the season whenever you can start it, and maybe go into the middle of November, maybe, but not much further than that. So you got a 100-game season. So what? There have been less than 162-game seasons before. There have been 154 for many, many years. Mm-hmm. They had 140. Just do a 100-game season and do a shortened playoffs. But I think you need to get in some semblance of a year. I don't think, you know, heaven forbid they cancel the season. I just don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think they should mind playing. The agents wanted to play more games because they want the players' numbers for salaries and all that stuff. But I just think you play, you're working some doubleheaders. I think if you get 100 games in, that's fine.
Yeah,
sure. You miss
sure.
2 months of the year. If you get 80 games, mm-hmm. I've heard 81 games, half the season. Get a half season, make it a full season. I think the NBA's done it before, too,
mm-hmm.
in strike years and stuff, and lockouts. It's happened before, I think, but I don't think you go to Christmas. I just think football would overwhelm it. It would diminish the game. It would take it away from the home field advantage and the home fans that have waited to see him all year long. And I don't think that's right.
Well, I'll say this, Bill, too. I mean, aside from the football You're going to have college football potentially. You're going to have the NBA still potentially. I mean, we'll see what happens with the NBA. What are your thoughts on the basketball side of things? You're 63 games in. I think nobody believes that they're going to be able to play out the rest of those regular season games. Do you think for the NBA it's different, that it's okay that you could kick the can down the road as far as you need to just so you can crown a 2020 champ?
I've seen basketball in August many times. It's called the Olympics, and they were postponed this year. So you can play basketball in August, absolutely. If you get these arenas available for these dates, absolutely. Yes, and I agree with you. The regular season's done. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't change that much anyway. I heard some team was complaining that, well, they're three games out of the eight seed with how many games left. Those teams hardly ever – there's so little movement in April in the NBA. There's so little movement at the end of March and April that you're not going to miss anything. Just bang the season, regular season right now. Three game start off with a best of five, maybe best of five series for a couple of them, and the best of seven for the finals. And play into August. I think you can do that. I think you can do that perfectly well. Fans would love it. I've got no problem with that. And now, would it affect next season? Yes. It gives you the excuse you've long needed to start the season at Christmas, which is when it should start anyway. And go in, it should go from Christmas into August anyway. That's how it should work. So, yeah, I got the NBA is in good shape. I mean, you know, they're not in good shape, but they're in better shape than others because they can figure this out. In baseball, there will be a definite hole in their schedule in their season. But the NBA can, again, I can't overstate this. The last part of the regular season, nobody moves in the standings. They never do. Let's do a study over the last 20 years. The standings on March 5th and the standings at the end of the season, how different they are. Very little difference. Maybe a seed or two here or there, and that's it.
Well, so, I think Bill, I think, you know, Commissioner Adam Silver is definitely one of those commissioners that's open to trying new ideas like you're proposing here. And I think there's a lot of fans out there that like the idea of starting basketball on Christmas. And I think that's something that he wanted to look into as well. This might be the year where he gets a little bit of both, right? This season, he still gets a chance to complete it. Hopefully that's the case. And then on Christmas, that's when basketball starts, where there's a lot of fans out there that think that's when their interest level starts rising when it comes to the NBA. And that's for more casual fans. If you're a diehard fan like me, you're going to get me whenever you start, but it might be more appealing to a casual fan.
Oh, much more appealing. The fans, you don't go up. They get NBA, look at the ratings this year. They get killed by football. You want to stay away from football as much as you can, as far as you can, as often as you can. So I think the NBA, I mean, I think it'll be, I'm interested what you think the Lakers will be like and the Clippers will be like. Is the long layoff going to hurt or help them? I thought it would help them, but LeBron's saying it's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
So and I get it. Too, I have no idea. I have no clue.
I get what he means too, that Lakers were clicking, right, Bill? I mean, they're coming off.
Yeah, they were.
Coming off those two wins, and you felt like, hey, this might be the team to beat. So I get what he's saying about, you know, this layoff's going to hurt him. And here's the thing too, Bill, and this is something I'm going to talk about a little bit later in the show, but I'd be lying if I didn't think that this was the best chance, and still could be, right? This could be the best year for the Lakers to have a chance to win a championship with LeBron. You're not promised tomorrow. You know, you don't know, just at his age, you just never know, right? And I think
that would be the biggest, if you're in terms of loss. And again, this is all relative. This is all trivial compared to what's going on in society right now.
100%.
But in terms of sports loss, the biggest loss felt in this town, if they bang the season, would be the Lakers by far. Oh yeah,
agreed.
Because you also you don't know if Anthony Davis stays.
Sure.
You're not guaranteed that, and you're not guaranteed. LeBron was playing at an MVP level. He'll be a year older. You guaranteeing he can do that again without injury? You know, no. You're exactly right. This was their moment. The Dodgers can say it was their window, but they're so well built and they're so deep. They have windows every year. This is the Lakers and the Clippers. They'll be better next year. Both those guys are back.
You're right. They have that luxury.
They have that luxury. The Lakers. This was their year. This is their year. You're exactly right. This would be the biggest of all the losses felt in the sports world in this town, this would be the biggest. They'd be the most affected by it.
Bill, final question, and I know I kind of jumped a little all over the place, but we were talking about the Dodgers. I just wanted to get your thoughts. What's your opinion on Astros former manager, former GM? They'll have their suspensions fulfilled in 2020, whether there's an MLB season or not. So if the MLB season is canceled, this will count as their suspension. Just your quick thoughts on that.
That's shameful. It's shameful. Mm-hmm. Baseball, that's written into their suspension, and that's just wrong. Mm-hmm. It is wrong. Baseball did everything they could to exonerate the owner, and now they're going to exonerate the GM and the manager. That's just wrong. They should be forced to miss games, miss real games, real time, real seasons. That's no penalty at all. Hell, they could be. That means they could be back managing the Astros next year. Shame on them. Shame
ridiculous.
On baseball. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you wouldn't shy away from an opinion. And, Bill, I love your insight, man. I appreciate you hopping on the show. And
thank you for doing this for two seconds. Stay safe.
All right, that's Bill Plaschke right there. By far one of my favorite interviews to do. And he's done such an amazing job for L.A. for such a long period of time. But I'm always curious to get Bill's takes. By the way, when I read yesterday – just his angle, right? It's important to bring up some of those views. It's important to bring up that, okay, it's all great and dandy that all the Dodger games are now going to be broadcast. This isn't something that you're going to have to worry about, but it's also important that it doesn't happen again, right? That that position that Dodger fans went through for 6 years, there's a percentage of Dodger fans that can't just, at the luxury of their home, go home and turn on a Dodger game. It's ridiculous. So love getting his thoughts on that. All right, let's do this when we come back. One of the things that Bill and I just hit on right there, and I think this is a fantastic topic for LA. Do you think this is the best chance under this LeBron? Remember, LeBron's here for technically 4 years with the Lakers. Is this the best year to win an NBA championship? I mean, think about all the different last year is obviously already done. We have no idea what tomorrow promises. Is this year, this season, which is why it's so important that we hopefully get an opportunity to play out the rest of the 2020 season. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll get your thoughts on this. Is this year the best chance for the Los Angeles Lakers to win an NBA championship with LeBron James rocking the purple and gold? We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.